My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you. Wow. Now I've got to preach. I was on my way home Saturday from West Virginia, and the Lord began to speak to my spirit. And I could feel the Holy Ghost on the plane, and that's a good place to feel it, especially when you're 30,000 feet in the air. It's a great place to feel the presence of the Lord. You at least know that's one flight that ain't going down. So you just feel good about that. But the Lord spoke to me and said, First Pentecostal Church, and myself, he spoke to me personally. And then I believe that through me, he speaks to you. We need to change our level of expectation. That's what he spoke to me. Now, I know my text today is going to be expect the best. And I know everybody here wants to experience the best for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Initially, there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to put it in its proper place. And you have to invoke the teaching of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can't expect the best for yourself only, and God honor that. You have to change your level of expectation in the kingdom. That when you walk into the church, every time you walk into the church, not one time, not just when the special speaker's there, not just when we're in a special time of revival, but even if you're in the driest season of your life, you walk into the house of the Lord and you declare, I'm expecting God to do his best work in this place for others. And I understand people saying, the best is yet to come. But that's not scripturally accurate. Really, if Jesus sets the pace for us in his first miracle when he turned the water into wine, everybody preaches that, I will save the best for last. And that's not what the text says. Because when the governor of the feast said, you have saved the best wine until now. The best is not last, church. I'm sorry. The best is not, I'm sorry I'm in the word on you. I'm sorry I'm in the word on you. But it's not yet to come. The best is. I said the best is. Now, why would you think you're going to get anything out of this service if you don't invest anything in it? Now, why would you come to church and just sit there and expect that God's going to do anything in your life if you don't invest at least something in this place? I mean, the least you could do is clap. The least you could do is say amen. The least you can do is smile. The least you can do. I say, church, it's time to expect the best. Change your level of expectation. And this is what the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And this is what I felt like so strong to tell you. That if you will change your, and he spoke this to me. If you'll change your level of expectation, I'll restore everything you've lost. worship like I've already got it. But the Lord spoke to me in this altar, and he said, that word's not just for you. He said, that word is for everybody that's going to hear you preach this morning. That if you'll change your level of expectation and put it in the kingdom, I'm expecting somebody to get the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm expecting somebody to be healed this morning. I'm expecting a miracle for somebody in the house. I'm going to invest it all in the kingdom. God's about to restore some stuff that you've lost. If I can get you to change your level of expectation. So Romans 10:8, here's my text. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The bishop said accurately this morning that there's a gift of faith in this place. And there is. I can sense it. And the miracle is in your mouth. It's nigh thee. I just need to get you to say it. I can't hear you. I said I need to get you to say it. Because if you can say it, you can receive it. If I could bring you to a point where you would say it, there's a miracle in this place. There's a healing in the house. So I want to minister to you this morning. Expect the best. God bless you. You may be seated. Faith is that invisible confidence that something exists other than what you presently see. It is the ability to believe in the unseen. But you have to express that faith. And the way that you do that is to hear God's word and receive it, but also speak it. That word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You must say it in order to express it and release the power and the energy of that faith. For I say, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't tell me you don't have faith. Because the Bible just said everyone has a measure of faith. Everybody's got faith in this house. Now, I'm not saying that you're having a good time. I'm not saying that you're not going through a dark trial. I'm not saying that God has answered all of your prayers. But I am saying you still have faith. In spite of all the things that has not yet happened, you still have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's good news. God rewards faith. So if you've got faith, I've got to get you to express that faith. And God has promised he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But if you're not going to invest anything in this, you don't plant any seed in the soil, you're not going to get a harvest. There's going to be no fruit on the vine. So you have got to express your faith. Every miracle you receive can be traced to a seed of faith. Faith is what drives ordinary men to accomplish the extraordinary. It's what turns common, average, ordinary men into uncommon achievers. Great men of God have had different personalities and different cultures and different races, and they've come from all over the world, but they all have one thing in common. They have learned how to use their faith. And what to use their faith on. I don't just use my faith on myself. And that's where we make the mistake. And we think if God hasn't done this for me, I must not have faith. That's a lie. I want to put my faith where I know it's always going to work, and that's in the kingdom. What I receive out of it is not important because God said, I'll take care of you. If you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. You seek my kingdom, and then the rest of it will follow. Faith is the real difference between winners and losers. Faith is the essential ingredient of every miracle. Faith causes the blinded eyes to see again, the deaf ears to hear, the lame limbs to walk, the barren womb to produce, the healed and the scarred to be healed, and the empty marriage to be healed, and restore confidence in a broken heart. God can literally break the chains of a cocaine habit. God can break the chains of an alcohol habit. God can break the chains of a prescription drug habit that's gotten out of control. And quit lying to yourself. Boy, I got three hand claps. Thank you. Quit lying to yourself and saying it's legal when you're abusing it and the enemy has captured you. You need deliverance from that. I'm going to say it again. You need deliverance from that. I'm telling you, faith can break that chain. Faith can transform a weakling into a champion for God. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. God used faith to create the universe. He expressed it by speaking his word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's that invisible confidence that's within you. It exists in your heart, and you know something exists beyond just the reality that you're seeing around you. Faith is like a seed that is planted in the soil of your spirit. It's been there since birth. It might be dormant. It might be dead. It might have problems. It might be battered. But I promise you, your faith has power in your spirit to operate in this service right now. I just have to activate it. That's why I'm preaching, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I can activate the faith that you already have, I don't need to give you faith. I just need to activate what you already. I'm going to go ahead and preach, Brother Gary. I'm going to go ahead and declare it. If I could activate and just let you know, God loves you. He loved you enough to die for your sins on the cross. And if he did, he has put in your heart the faith that you can believe him for the impossible. God can put your broken marriage back together again. God can lift you out of the trial you're in. If somebody could express it. You got to express that faith, and you got to do it correctly. The starving widow of 1 Kings 17 willingly gave her last meal to the prophet Elijah. Naaman the leper obeyed the prophet and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times after being rebuked by his servant because he didn't want to do it because he had too much pride. If your praise is being hindered because you got too much pride because you don't want anybody around you to think that you're for what's going on in the spirit, well, I don't want to commit myself until I see what's happening. Then you'll never see. If you do see it, you'll get run over. I wish somebody would say amen on that. You'll get run over. You need to go ahead and commit to it before you see it, and start speaking to it before it happens, and declare it before it happens. It was over 20 years ago when we got together. I was the head of the committee, and we cast the vision for over 40,000 people to be in a football field. We cast the vision that our young people would one day have a youth congress in a football field. The only thing I regret about that happening is that we didn't prophesy 100,000, because it showed my, I'm telling you, and I went to Youth Congress and I saw the fulfillment of a vision that was spoken into existence 25 years ago. Don't tell me this don't work. Don't tell me God's not true to his word. Don't tell me. I know he is. I said I know he is. God's going to bring you out. If somebody would just start speaking it and saying, the Lord's in this place. I'll tell you where to start. The Lord's in this place. As a matter of fact, at the end of this message, I'm going to put words in your mouth so you can speak them. The Lord is in this place. But I'll start now before I get to the end, because I'm not at the end yet. I know you want me to be, but I'm not there yet. I said, the Lord is in this place. You say, I don't feel him. I don't care what you feel. That's not according to your feeling. Well, they didn't sing my song. I don't care whether they sang your song or not. The Lord is in this place. Because I know Brother Herod came in the name of the Lord, and so did I. And there's a gift of faith operating right now. I speak to every sickness in this house. I curse the seed of cancer in this house. I come against every muscular... I come against it in the name of Jesus. I come against every lung problem. I come against it. I speak healing in this house. I speak miracles in this house. I speak deliverance in this house. You don't have to be bound any longer. You are free. You are free. So, I want you to understand something. All you have to have is faith like a mustard seed, and you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Now, we preach it from our Western cultural viewpoint, and I'm not saying necessarily it's wrong. I'm just simply saying it's not the accurate interpretation. But everybody preaches it that it's the size of the mustard seed. But if you go to Israel and you ask the guides that will lead you on your tours about the mustard seed, they will tell you that the Western culture preaches that text wrong, that they don't have the right interpretation. It's not the size of the mustard seed. The mustard seed has a unique DNA construction. It cannot be cross-pollinated. It cannot become a hybrid. It cannot be crossed with anything. You can plant it by anything, and it's totally unaffected by its surroundings. I'm going to go ahead and preach. I know you don't want it, but I'm going to just go ahead and give it to you anyway. You got to watch what you plant around orange trees, because if it gets connected to the root system of an orange grove, it can change the taste of the oranges, because it does not have that kind of DNA construction. But a mustard seed is the most unique seed of all of the plant kingdom, because it is the only one that is designed that no matter what is planted next to, it will always be what it is by its original design. And no outside influence can change it. Woo! If somebody, if you got faith, you can rise up, and the devil can't make you backslide, and hell can't stop you. If you've got faith, you can do anything. Nothing can affect you. The storm can't affect you. Bitterness can't affect you. The blackjack trees of the world can't affect you, because you know who Jesus is. You know what you've got. I've got the Holy Ghost and fire, and I believe that it's worth investing in the kingdom. But you've got to invest in the kingdom. And you got to quit worrying about what you're getting out of it. Because God just promised you that if you'll change your level of expectation, he'll restore everything you've lost. Woo! Kotabahara. I said, if you'll change your level of, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost right now. How do you change your level of expectation? Say, I'm going to get it now. I'm going to see God move now. That's how you do that. All you do to change your level of expectation, all you do to change your level of expectation is to bring into the now what you have ever believed God could do in the future. Or if you're stuck in the past, I remember when we had the great revivals 50 years ago. Well, praise God, 50 years ago. Well, God can bring from the past. He can take the best from the past. This is scriptural. When Solomon dedicated the temple, there was only one piece of furniture he brought from the tabernacle of Moses into the temple of Solomon. And that was the Ark of the Covenant. He said, I'm going to take the best from the past and I'm going to bring it into the now. Because I don't care what newfangled temple you build, you still need the presence of God to make it work. I don't know about you, First Pentecostal Church, but I'm going to tell you right now that there's a presence in this place. There is a gift of faith in this house, and God is ready. Now, let me tell you why you can't change your level of expectation, and then I'm done. I was talking with the district superintendent of West Virginia, Brother Hurley, and we were talking about what they call cognitive reconstruction. It is a study that's done by the secular world called cognitive reconstruction. And it's to help people who have what they call cognitive delusions or distractions or distortions in their life. It creates anxiety and fear, and of course there's different levels of that, and there's therapies that they use to help with that. And I was talking with Brother Hurley, and then lo and behold, I'm on the plane and I get an email from Brother Matthew Cunningham. And guess what the email, he said, I wanted to share with you something that I was reading about, and it was cognitive reconstruction, and I thought it was cool. And I noticed in the article, and so I did some of my own research beyond that because I wanted to study a little bit more about it, because what happens to people is that they get what they call a distortion in life. That means you've had a trauma, you've been abused, you've got fear and anxiety, you've been rejected, you're bitter or you're offended or somebody has hurt you. And what happens is it creates a cognitive reality that's not true. That everything you sense in this place right now is being filtered through that distortion, and you can't feel anything because you're numb, because you're stuck in a false reality of reliving a past situation. Reliving a past situation that has bound you and crippled you to where you can no longer respond correctly, and it is a trick of the enemy. And everything they put in that article and all of the things that I was studying, it's all in the Bible. As a matter of fact, they took it from the book. I mean, it's right textbook, right down the line of what you have to do to overcome it. You got to change, first of all, the way you think. You got to think in terms that I am not what happened to me. I'm going to go ahead and preach. I am not what happened to me. I am what I say I am now. I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was broken, but now I'm healed. You gotta say what you are now. For some people, that cognitive reality or the way they perceive the way things are now, if somebody they don't like is in the congregation with them at the moment, then they're reliving everything that whatever their negative feelings toward that person may have been or why, or that's immaterial. It just affects them in the same way. So they're bound. They can't clap their hands because they're focused on that person and fixated. They're hawking them, seeing what they're going to do. What you going to do? And they're hoping for an apology, or they're hoping for closure, or they're hoping for some kind of I can sneak up on them and bump them off. Hallelujah. And God's not going to let you do any of it, because if you do any of that, then you're outside the grace of God. And when you get outside the grace of God, everything I'm preaching is null and void. Because only in God's grace can you get this. So you got to change your cognitive reality by saying what you are now, and what they did to you is not who you are. Woo! You say, well, who are you? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You got to think differently. Jesus is bigger than your problem. Jesus is bigger than your situation. Jesus is bigger than your past. Jesus is bigger, bigger, better, more capable. So to alter your distortion and to get the distortion out of you, you got to speak. And you got to think and speak according to the true reality of what you want. That's why. So what do you want me to say, Brother Kinsey? All right, stand up. And I'm going to close. I told you I'd do it at the end. I had 7 points I wanted to go through, and I didn't get to a single one of them. Amen. And if you mess with me, I'll sit you back down and go through all 7 of them. So if you want to get out of here, you better say this quick and you better mean it. And this is what I've done. I heard a song in West Virginia. I don't think we've ever sang it here. But I got the words. I had them send me and email me the words to it. I got to singing it. I got to speaking it. They rather me speak than sing, so I got to shouting on it. And this is what I'm declaring for you now. I declare freedom for my family. I declare freedom for my home. Happy birthday, Dana. I declare freedom for my daughters. Brother Strobel, welcome back home. I declare freedom for my sons. I declare what your word has spoken. No matter what I feel, no matter what I see, I declare every chain is broken, because we gonna be free. Free because you said I'm free. I'm free because you said I'm free. I'm free no matter how I feel. I'm free no matter what I see. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm free? That's not all the song. Your word is my authority. I like that. I said, your word is my authority in every season of life. So as for me and my house, we're going to be free. Will you just turn to your neighbor and say, as for me and my house, we're going to be free. Well, you've already stood up, but here's the rest of the song. I will stand up and fight for my freedom. I will stand up and take what belongs to me. I will worship in my situation. I will lift my hands, lift my voice, and declare, I am free. Now it's up to you to get it. Woo! Woo! I wish somebody would say, I'm gonna expect the best. The miracle is in your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth. Speak it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith which we have preached. Your miracle is one declaration away. I am free. I am free. I am free. I declare freedom for my sons. I declare freedom for my daughters. I declare freedom from the past. I declare freedom from fear. I declare freedom from anxiety. I declare freedom. I speak freedom up in this house. He that the Son of Man has made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Free indeed. Now, if you need a miracle, you want a healing, you want the Holy Ghost, I want you to step out from where you're standing because I want you to come and join me up here in the front. I want you to get up here because God's about to set some people free in the Holy Ghost. If I can get you to change your level of expectation, which means whatever you believe God can do or whatever you believe God has done, you are now going to believe that he can do it now. That's the difference between somebody who is truly expecting and just a has-been that never will be or whatever. So you have to come on and stand on your faith that God can do now everything he's done in the past and everything he's promised to do in the future, he can do it now. You just bring it into the now. And release God by your faith, by your words, by your worship, by your praise to do it now. In the kingdom, not considering yourself, you seek first the kingdom of God. That's the principle. The best is now. You save the best wine for now. Not for last, for now. That's the text. It's written, King James, now. Not a paraphrase, not a translation. It's King James right down to the black and white letter of the law. Now, N-O-W, now. Right now, Mark. Shandabakarama. Mark, I said now, God. David, God can do it now. He can deliver you now. So you need to step. Some of you are so bothered with anxiety, you have such a cognitive distortion in your life that you can't hardly even live a day without being smothered by that distortion or by that delusion. It can be a delusion. I mean, there's different levels on the spectrum of how deep it is. But God wants to deliver you from that right now. Right now, he wants to set you free. I came here for the kingdom. So you need to step out by faith and say, I'm not going to allow that distortion to any longer, that delusion, that concept to any longer hinder me in my walk with God. I'm going to rise above it and I'm going to be free from it. Step out by faith right now. Step out by faith. All over the building, balcony, everybody. I mean, they poured out of the balcony today. My God, the gift of faith, as the bishop has declared, I'm in agreement with the bishop. of Springfield, Illinois, the gift of faith is in operation. Right now, your miracle is in this altar. Your healing is in this altar. I'm in agreement with the bishop. He declared it and walked away and turned it over to me, and hallelujah. Go ahead and receive it. Church, y'all just need to get loose in this house. Brothers Herod and Herod and Herod, I release y'all. I release you. Pray for anything and everything you can get your hands on.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.